very sheltered. I was married for 24 years, so I was very sheltered, stay-at-home mom. So when I got back out into the dating world again, and it's just really different now, because we were raised during the Ozzy and Harriet days, and it just, you know, it just, it, that's not the way it is anymore. So it's tough, it's hard, especially in this area. I'm seriously thinking that in the next few years, I'd like to settle down. If I don't meet somebody, I would probably move to, you know, somewhere where the men are homespun and old-fashioned, and, you know, it just, that's kind of like, you know, I'd like to settle down.
Midwest area?
Yeah, something like that. Colorado, I don't know. I'll see. I'm just throwing thoughts out there, because I just really haven't met anyone in this. It just seems like they're very superficial. They're into their things. And they really don't want to, out of the men that I've met, I can honestly say probably maybe one of them wanted to settle down, was looking to settle down. And, you know, I'm not looking to just, you know, go from person to person. You know, I'd like to get serious at some point. So it hasn't been a real pleasant experience, you know. I mean, it's not been a horrible experience. But, you know, and then your friends set you up with a blind dating thing. And so far that really hasn't worked out. But I think what I just would like to be like a companion, you know, somebody that has like interests and, you know, that kind of thing. It's kind of a partner kind of thing.
Where are you from?
I'm from Colombia, South America.
Oh. You're optimistic and hopeful and cheerful.
Yeah, but women are ugly over there, so they don't like us.
Ugly?
The difference between women and men are so
cute. So they like the American guys over there.
Oh, yeah, they like American guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they don't like the American
guys? No, they don't like the guys over there because we are not handsome for them. Yeah,
that's... You're optimistic and hopeful and cheerful. And you look on the bright side, and no matter what, you find a good in the situation.
What about you?
This is my first one. Yeah, my co-workers made me do it.
Oh, yeah?
Like, tomorrow, you gotta go. Okay. They were gonna come meet me here, too, but at the last minute, you know, they had, you know, other plans.
Of course, right?
What I'm finding is that as you go on in life, it gets more difficult to connect with people. That may or may not be true. It's more true. It seems to be more true of people who are not in the center of the bell-shaped curve. Okay, you know, like, you know, the bell-shaped curve of different. There's a bell-shaped curve of people. If you are Mr. Average or Miss Average or something, I think you have an easier time meeting somebody else because you're inside the bell-shaped curve.
Okay, guys, so everybody's seated. Yes. First of all, when you guys walked in tonight, you're greeted by my lovely door host, Carlotta, and she gave you a scorecard, a name tag, and a pen. Make sure you have your scorecard, name tag, and a pen. And let me know, we'll get you.
So this is like my second time. I thought this is, I like the format. I really like it, and I know that it's kind of happening all over the country, all different ages. And I thought, well, you know, yes, true, first impressions, but at least if there's a group of people, 10, 15, whatever, you at least can meet people that are across the room that you might never get to meet or talk to,
There's some very nice people, and I think that it has possibilities.
Yeah.
On your name tag is the same number that's written on your scorecard. So, for instance, if my number was 11, I should have 11 on my scorecard and 11 on my name tag. The number on your scorecard name tag is your hurry date ID number. It's the way you're going to be identified for the night. Not like, hey, number 11. It's just the way that you're going to keep track of your matches.
If you sign on to it, it asks you your height, maybe weight, body type, ethnic background, age, and all that. Now, it's just pigeonholed you. Now, if you are the middle of the road in any of those areas, well, that's fine. You're in your own zone, right? But what do you do, for example, okay, you take a look at me, all right? Now, if you didn't know me, you look at this guy and he says, okay, you've got a 5'5" tall, slender Asian guy. That's what you see. All right. What you don't know about me is that this is the only part of me that's Asian. My father lived in Britain and Scotland. I'm a member of a Scottish clan. There's a side of me that's Scottish and English, which doesn't show up right away. Okay? You know, I do a lot of dancing, I do a lot of music, I have a wide range of stuff. None of that is obvious. So what happens is, when you put your profile up, the first thing that goes in is your vital statistics. Now that's just pigeonholed you. Now let's say you are somebody coming along looking at the men, right? And unless you yourself say, I'm looking for an Asian man, I will never ever show up in your radar screen. But if you read my profile, you might be very interested in me, but I'll never show up.
Each date is open up their scorecard, and this is where the number comes in. You're going to look for the number of the person you've been speaking with and mark either Y for yes or N for no. Now, Y in Korean language is a maybe. It means I may be interested in speaking to this person again. It means that you didn't sit there and have nothing to say for 5.5 minutes. Had a nice conversation. It doesn't mean that you guys are moving in together, have the date next week. It just means that you may be interested in speaking to this person again. Okay? So you got your whys and your nos. Make sure you make your decisions as you're moving along from date to date. That's the way you'll remember each person you met tonight. Okay?
I didn't care for online dating because it just that was just a little desperate or weird to me, and just trying to meet somebody over the internet, it just that was too weird to me. Going to clubs, it just seemed like I didn't really meet anybody there. They were very aloof, and you know, they would say they'd call you and then they wouldn't call you, and so that never really worked out. And I think it's not a last resort, but I'm at a point where I just really just want to meet more people. And you never know if the person that you're meeting has a brother or somebody that they know or somebody that they work with that you might be interested in, if you just, you know, kind of open yourself up to that. I just like meeting people. Yeah.
Yeah,
just making my circle bigger.
She doesn't do that with single gourmet.
No.
And that was a shame because occasionally, depending if you met earlier and you got to talking to, you know, 4 or 5 people, where you were sitting would not be the same, and you'd never get to talk to those people again.
I was telling Tony that if I have a larger group, about 40 people, I'll have like 3 tables and have the men sitting for one course, and then the second course they move up one, and then meet those women and die in the next course with that, and then they go to the next
course.
Yeah, I that way everyone meets everyone. I think it could be cool.
Avoided the whole lock and key method. He would zoom right in on her. You know, he'd cart her off for the evening and monopolize her for the evening. And it was like a game of, you know, it was almost like guys on the free throw line of the basketball court. And I was taught to be a gentleman. That if 3 other guys are talking to you, I wait my turn. That's a gentleman. Not at the mixers. You can't do that. You have to And I was told that by a lady, a neighbor of mine who's single, who's gone to these mixers. And she was like, she's attractive, and she was mobbed by six guys. And she said, you have like three guys or one guy who's always talking to you at once. Then if he leaves, the second guy comes in. But then you have like three other people circling around you all the time. And there's like an outer ring that's waiting to break into the inner ring. And I told her, I said, you know, I can't do that because I'm a gentleman. And as a result of that, you know, I have no luck because I think it's rude to do it that way.
State, it's a great place to do research. I mean, the whole world follows United States in research. I said, I should go. So I got an offer. So I got my research. I got my master's degree over there. And then I got another offer from Missouri for a PhD. They said, no, would you like to come and work with us? I said, okay. I mean, Missouri is not that far from Illinois. And I got used to living around here. I said, why not? It's a great school. So I went to Missouri. I got my PhD. And then I was hoping to find a faculty position in a university in the United States. And then I got several interviews, and I got the same response from each of them. They said, you know, you are a book guy, you've been studying for 12 years, you don't have real-life experience, you know. And then I decided to get a real-life experience, and I work on earthquakes.
You work what?
Earthquakes. I do research on earthquakes.
Okay, like seismology.
I work on buildings and bridges, like I try to make them stronger.
So engineering.
I'm a construction engineer.
Okay.
So I try to make them stronger against earthquakes, earthquake loads. So where else do you go except California?
Right.
I end up here. It's been less than a year. I love it here a lot, very much. LA is growing on me. I don't think I will ever be leaving from here.
Really?
Well, it's going to be temporary. I mean, I'll get some real life experience and then I'll leave. But now I enjoy this great weather. I mean, the social life is amazing here.
Yeah.
I mean, spending time by the beach is amazing.
Yeah.
It's called being addicted to the process.